Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Morning, church. If you're wondering why it's me again, in army, sometimes they say sign extra. If you don't know what that means, it's okay. You can ask me in private after the service. But it's a joy to be here again. It truly is, especially because this week we will be departing from Leviticus as we have completed our Holy Rhythms series. And if you're familiar with Covenant's Pulpit, you will know that it is our annual rhythm that we will take some time to focus on missions. And for that reason, this season, we will be looking at missions. This is the theme for our missions month, that none should perish. And over the next 3 weeks, we will be looking at various aspects of how we can catch God's heart for the lost, how we can increase our margin for the marginalized, and how we can seize every moment to play our part in missions, because our Lord truly desires that none should perish, and indeed He is coming back soon. And so for today, we begin by looking to the one God. We look to the one God, and the text that we will be referring to is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to verse 38. Let's look at this text together. This is what it reads in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." For those of us who use the Lectio 365, this passage will be very familiar, because just 2 days ago, on the 11th of October, you would have come across this passage. It was on the entry, "Send out workers." And a month ago, when Pastor Horn, Pastor Matt, and myself, when we agreed on this passage to preach for today, we had no idea that Lectio 365 would be using the same passage as well. So, would we begin, as we look to the one God, let's begin by looking to Him in prayer. Would you join me as we bow our heads and pray? Father, indeed, Your Word speaks to us today. We pray, O God, that You will speak to each and every one whose heart is open to You. And let that be every one of us, O God, so that we may know what is upon Your heart, that it may be laid upon ours as well. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the text today, there are three verbs that are used to describe what Jesus did. And I'd like us to pay attention to these three verbs. The first is Jesus saw. He saw in verse 36. The second verb is He felt, also in verse 36. And then further down in verse 37, He said. He saw, He felt, He said. Can you remember that? That must be the easiest sermon outline to remember. Okay? But there's something else I'd like you to remember. More than this, I'd like you to remember one summary statement that sums up everything that we have to say about today's message. And this is what it is. When we see as God sees, we will do as God says. Let me say that again. When we see as God sees, we will do as God says. Can you say that with me? When we see as God sees, we will do as God says. Let's do that one more time. When we see as God sees, we will do as God says. Now, I'm going to put it away. Can you turn to the person beside you and just recite what you just said? All right? Not that he said. Huh? Okay? All right, did everyone get it? So once again, when we see as God sees, we will do as God says. Or to put it another way, very often when we fail to do what God says, it's very often simply because we don't see as God sees. Like us now to look at the text and look at what then did Jesus see, right? Says that he saw the crowds. He saw the crowds. Why is this significant? Because Jesus, the text tells us, was not sitting around all day at the city gate watching the crowds go by. He wasn't sipping on a latte and just enjoying people watching as they move past him. On the contrary, the text tells us that Jesus was a busy man. He was traveling from place to place and he was actively engaged in ministry all day. In the verse that precedes, this is what it says, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Verse 35 shows us that Jesus was going from town to town, village to village. He was busy all day, engaged in ministry, teaching, preaching, healing. And in spite of his busyness, he saw the crowds. This is fascinating because, friends, I don't know if you have this experience, but I certainly do. When I'm busy, I will want to focus on what it is that is the task at hand. And then I block out everything else that distracts. So people can be talking to me and I'm not paying attention because I'm focused. There could be other things that are going on, like the fire alarm, and I don't hear it because I am focused. I block out. And here is Jesus, busy in everyday ministry, and yet he saw the crowds. And not only did he see the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Not only did he see the crowds in his busyness, he didn't just let them pass him by. He saw them, he took notice of them, and he felt compassion for them. Earlier on, when we had that montage and we saw these pictures of children, of adults, of people from different cultures from all over the world, I wonder what it is that you saw and what it is that you felt. Many of us saw pictures of strangers. I wonder how many of us saw people who are going to be dying without Jesus. I wonder how many of us felt a compassion for people who have yet to come to know Jesus as we saw some of these pictures. I know that I, for one, am someone who's very lacking in compassion. I'm not wired that way. It doesn't come naturally to me. My wife and I, we were watching a three-part documentary called Walk the Line by Channel News Asia. Some of you may have watched it as well. It's about these Chinese immigrants who try to enter into the United States, and they do that illegally. They have to pass through 7 countries. They have to travel over 6,000 kilometers, and they have to brave the sea when they have to travel by boat. They have to brave human traffickers, drug cartels, even wild animals as they are going through the jungle, sometimes on foot. As I watched this, I heard of how some of them lost their lives in the process of trying to get into the US illegally through this line that they follow. And many of them were robbed. There were women, there were girls who were sexually assaulted, and some of them were kidnapped and trafficked. And as I watched all this, I realized that I had no compassion for these people. Instead, what I had was bewilderment. I was puzzled. Why would these people put their lives on the line and take such risk just to go to the US? As I reflected on this, I realized that something is missing in me, a sense of compassion that is missing. And I wonder if you too, sometimes, perhaps you are busy and you block out, or perhaps there's just so much that calls for your attention that sometimes you too are missing in compassion for those who are in need, perhaps even more, those who are lost. As we look at scriptures and as we dig deep into what it says about Jesus having felt compassion for the crowds, the word compassion actually, if it's read literally, means to have one's bowels to be yearning. Now, we can't quite understand that, have your bowels to be yearning. Maybe the closest in English we can say about something like this is to say that I feel it in my gut. Okay? That one you understand, right? Or sometimes we say, I feel butterflies in my stomach. Okay? That one is more for nervousness rather than compassion. But there's something inside that is moving. And in this case, it is moving you to compassion. That's what this word means, this Greek word, if you dig deep into compassion. And to experience this great affection, this compassion that wells up from within is what moved Jesus to compassion. Jesus was moved to compassion as he looked upon the crowd. Friends, I know that I'm not one who has that kind of compassion. And if you are like me, perhaps you would want to join me as we pray and ask God to do a work in our lives, to put compassion into our hearts, so that when we see those who are in need, okay, I'm not sure about the bowels moving, but at least to have a compassion and a care for those in need and those who are lost. Because when we see as God sees, we will do as God says. So why? Why was Jesus so moved by compassion when he saw the crowds? Verse 36 tells us why. It says that because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Now again, distressed and dejected can probably be better translated. There's this idea of them being harassed. They were like sheep who were harassed and were cast down. Sheep, my friends, as you probably know, are not very intelligent animals. They are vulnerable, they are defenseless, and they are totally dependent on the shepherd to take care of them. Even when there are no predators waiting to pounce on them, sheep are no good by themselves. They don't know how to find food on their own. Now, you may know Psalm 23, and in verse 2, it says that the shepherd leads the sheep to green pastures, leads them beside still waters. Why? Because the sheep doesn't know how to find its own way to green pastures and to still waters. As I was reading up on this, I learned that goats are different. Apparently, goats are quite good at foraging. Then I thought about it, yeah. You know, you've seen mountain goats, right? They know how to make their way around a mountain, find their own food. Have you seen mountain sheep? Don't have, right? So apparently, sheep are so dependent on their shepherds that without their shepherds, they are in great danger, exposed to the elements, don't know where to find food, and worst of all, they are unable to fend off any predators. And so, when Jesus looked at the crowds and saw these sheep without a shepherd, this was probably what evoked that compassion in him. But this imagery of the sheep and the shepherd is so rich. I have to point you back to the Old Testament to help you to appreciate this even more. There are two texts in the Old Testament I'd like to spend a bit of time for us to take a look at. The first is in Numbers chapter 27 and in verse 15 to verse 18. Now, this is shortly after God revealed to Moses. He said, you go up the mountain, you take a look at the promised land. After you've seen the promised land, that's all. That's about as close as you're going to get to it because you're not going to enter into the promised land. Now, Moses appealed to God. Moses didn't appeal to say, please let me enter the promised land. Instead, this was his appeal. All right? Now let's read it. Moses appealed to the Lord. May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all, because he knows he's going to die soon, appoint a man over the community who will go out before them and come back in before them, who will bring them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's community won't be like sheep without a shepherd. Can you see? A man over the community is a leader to lead God's people. That is the shepherd. And what did God say? God chose a man. He says, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man who has the Spirit in him. Lay your hands on him. And that was Moses' successor. I'd like you to take a further look later on in history of Israel, in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2 and verse 5. This is when God is rebuking the kings and the leaders of the people of Israel and Judah. And this is what he says, should not shepherds feed the sheep? Verse 5, so the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd and they became food for all the wild beasts. Now, I've cut out verse 3 and 4, but if you read it, you will see that God was actually rebuking the kings for their irresponsibility. They were not caring for their people. They were only taking care of themselves. They were milking all the good things from the people to feed themselves, but they were not feeding their people. And what God is rebuking them for is that having put you as king of these people, you have not been a shepherd to your sheep. Now, with this very rich context of the OT, of the Old Testament, let's come back and see that when Jesus says that these people are like sheep without a shepherd, he was, in fact, referring to a leader, a king over these people. And so, when we read here what Matthew says, that Jesus felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, what Matthew was in fact saying is that Jesus is this leader of the people, the messianic king who is to come, and he will deliver his people from sin. He is the one, and this king, looking upon his people, is moved by compassion for them. Sheep without a shepherd. When we see as God sees, and even begin to feel as God feels, we will do as God says. So what did God say? What did God say when he saw, he felt? We go on to see in verse 37 that he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Friends, I think most of us are not farmers. Some of us maybe have our small little HDB garden. Okay, some of us maybe have some plants growing in pots outside our homes. Okay, some of us maybe If we live on landed, maybe we have a slightly bigger plot, but most of us are not career farmers. But we don't need to be farmers to know that when what you grow is ripe for harvest, if you leave it there and don't harvest it, it will rot. And that's what this passage is telling us. That's what this picture is showing us when the Lord said that the harvest is abundant, it's ready for the taking, and yet the workers are few. Now, this is because landowners of that time would have to hire workers to do the work, be it to sow or to reap. These are workers who are hired hands on the farm to bring in the harvest. Now, if the workers are few and there are not enough workers to bring in the harvest will go to waste. It will spoil. It will rot. So what then are we to do? The Lord goes on to say, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. The Lord said to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Now, let's pause and think for a moment. Why did the Lord say to pray to the Lord? Why do we even have to pray and ask God to send out workers to bring in the harvest, which is what is upon His own heart? People for whom He has compassion. Why do we even have to ask God for something that He already loves and wants to do for Himself? Friends, I like to think that there are at least three reasons that Jesus called His disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. I'd like to suggest to you perhaps there are three reasons. First of all, prayer slows people down. The disciples, probably very much like us Singaporeans, are action-oriented. And when Jesus says, look, the harvest is abundant, workers are few, I would think that the disciples would probably be waiting for the Lord to deploy them, to go and be the harvesters. Some of them would raise their hands, probably Peter. I'm just imagining. Probably Peter. Yeah, send me, quick, I want to go. Instead, Jesus says, pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send. Slows us down. Friends, in our society, it's like that as well. Very often, many of us want to rush to do God's work. And instead, we forget that very often God wants us to slow down. Remember, we were talking about rhythms of rest. And sometimes that slowing down helps us, and this brings me to the next point, it helps us to remember that it is God who is the one who's actually doing the work and not us. It's a reminder for us that we are to depend on God because God is the one who sends out the workers. God is the one who calls the laborers to go that they may bring in the harvest. So I think the second reason is for a reminder for us to remember that God, the Lord of the harvest, is the one who's actually the one doing the work and not us. And thirdly, it's because He gives us a partnership. He gives us this privilege to partner with Him so that we can engage with God even in prayer. So that as we ask of Him, knowing that this is something that is upon His heart, knowing that He will surely answer, then we have partnered with God for His kingdom work to bring in the harvest. Some of us were at the Antioch 21 summit that was held at St. John's and Margaret's Church about 2 weeks ago. Antioch 21 is an organization in Singapore that wants to be a catalyst for global missions out of Singapore, to encourage obedience to the Great Commission and for Singapore to pursue her Antioch call to the nations. So at this conference, at this summit that was held about 2 weeks ago, at the end of that conference, the participants were asked, where is God calling you? Where is God calling you? And they were asked to respond, and their answers are mapped out on this map. There were about 350 respondents who have replied to say that God has called them and their dot is somewhere on this map. Right? So you can see much of it is gathered around Asia, right? But you see some here as well on the corners. These are those that are going to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? But it doesn't matter where it is that God may have called them. The point here is the Lord of the harvest has spoken to the hearts of these attendees at this missions conference, and they are responding to say, yes, the Lord has called me, and I will go if God so calls me to go. But there's more. Among these 350 or so respondents, there are some of our own. This is a picture also taken in the Antioch Summit, and some of you will see your own friends in this picture. These are mostly our young adults, also Pastor Kat and Pastor Horn pretending to be young adults in there. But many of these are our young adults from Covenant EFC who were attending this conference because their hearts are stirred to missions. Many of them responded to God's call. The Lord of the harvest is indeed raising up laborers in answer to prayer. So He calls all of us to pray that He may send out more laborers. Now, not all of us can go, but surely all of us can pray. So when we see as God sees, we will do as God says. But friends, I'd like you to see what God does in answer to prayer. More than the picture that I've just shown you of the young adults at Antioch, I'd like you to see in Scriptures that in chapter 10, verse 1, which follows immediately from the text that we just read, chapter 10, verse 1, summoning His 12 disciples, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. And then in verse 2, 3, 4, He names the 12 disciples. And in verse 5, Jesus sent out these 12 after giving them these instructions and so on. Jesus sent them out. Remember we read earlier in Matthew 9:38, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers. And here we see, immediately following, the Lord answering that very prayer that He has asked His disciples to pray, sending out laborers. In fact, if you read it carefully, you will notice that He had given this instruction to pray to the Lord of the harvest. He was talking to His disciples. And here, He has gathered 12 of these disciples and He sends them out. Friends, not everyone may be able to go, but everyone can pray. And then for those of us who are called to go, let's be obedient to what the Lord calls us to. There was one line in Lectio 365 that those of us who read it were particularly drawn to. And this is what it says on Friday's entry. There was one line that read, I must be ready to be the answer to my own prayers. I must be ready to be answer to my own prayers. So what then is our response, my friends? Do we see as God sees? Because when we see as God sees, then we will do as God says. Early on, I mentioned the Antioch Summit, but behind the Antioch Summit is the Antioch 21 movement that has organized it. And this Antioch 21 movement was first launched in 2003. It was the vision of the late Pastor Rick Seward. Pastor Rick Seward is known for having missions on his heart, and missions is what drives their church. But Pastor Rick Seward, he died in a highway car accident in Brazil in 2018. He was on the field doing missions work. Subsequently, in November of 2021, Antioch 21 was relaunched, and this time it was under the leadership of strategic coordinator Joseph Chien. And Joseph Chien led this movement for about 2 years, and in November of 2023, Joseph, who was in Istanbul, also was called home to the Lord. He was on his way to the airport after having conducted a discipleship training school session for a week. He was on his way home when he too encountered a road traffic accident. But on day two of the Antioch Summit, the widow of Joseph Chien, Kim Chien, shared with the attendees about how in the last 10 months since her husband's passing, she had embarked on mission trips going to Beirut in Lebanon and Okinawa in Japan. Why? Why did she do this? Because she knew that these two places were close to Joe's heart. They had spoken about doing this trip, but he never made it. So when she was settled, after the funeral and all, she decided that she wanted to do what was on Joe's heart because it was important to him. And so it compelled her to do just that. Then she asked the attendees, "What then? What then about what is on our Father's heart? Will we do the Father's will because we know what is on His heart? Will we do the Father's will because we know what is on our Father's heart?" When we see as God sees, we will do as God says. In a moment, I'm going to call us to respond by singing this song, this magnificent hymn, "Facing a Task Unfinished." And in this hymn, the third verse says, "We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad tidings, ours, fired by the same ambition. To Thee we yield our powers." Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Indeed, Lord, there are many who have gone ahead of us, some of whom have laid their lives down for the gospel. And Lord, today you say to us in your word that we are to pray to the Lord of the harvest and to ask you to send out laborers, send out workers into the harvest. So God, would you stir up in us that compassion for the lost, that obedience to pray, so that Lord, even as you speak to us and perhaps to call every one of us to pray, that Lord, we may be found faithful. Help us, Lord, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we proclaim this together, "Facing a Task Unfinished," before I call us to a time of response?
Drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished renews our sorrowful ease. We who rejoice to know but by the same ambition, to Thee we yield our hearts. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. Father, sustain them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untied. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, for on Thy parents send us to labor for Thy sake. We go to all the world with kingdom hopes unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord.
Father, Your word tells us, You tell us through Your Son, that the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. And then, Lord, You have said to us, You have called us, You have instructed us to pray earnestly to You, Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into the harvest. So, God, that is what we pray today. We thank You for these whom You have raised, You have called, who have obediently stepped out. And we pray that You continue to preserve them and to bless their ministry, to keep them, protect them, their families, those whose families are with them in the field, as well as those whose families are back here in Singapore. But Lord, we pray too that You will raise more workers, because indeed the harvest is abundant. Lord, may there be many more who will be willing to step up to go. And Lord, would You be the one to send them out, even as we come in obedience to ask of You, to pray and ask You, O God, would You send out many more laborers into the harvest field, that many more may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.